Hi, everybody. Coming out of the struggle series, if you learned anything, one thing you learned was that God knew you before you were conceived, and He had a plan for your life. And in that plan, everything you will ever need has already been provided. And all you have to do is to be able to walk out the plan because your steps are already ordered. And if you can stay in that order, you will get to the place that God wants you to be. But we know there are spirits that tend to hinder that flow and want to disrupt you. We've talked about all six of them tonight. We're going to close with the seventh, which is the Pharisaical spirit. So without any further ado, let's welcome to the stage Minister Winston. Come on up here and tell us about the Pharisaical spirit.
Welcome to Wednesday night. Welcome to Wednesday night. And before your mind can get all wrapped up into, hey, what is Minister Winston about to say right now? Let's give God the best, loudest hallelujah that we have given Him all day. I can't hear you. I'm talking about a good God. Let's give Him the best hallelujah. Amen. That was amazing. So tonight, I have the honor and the privilege of standing before you and going over the last of the series of the hindrance of the flow of God. And this spirit we'll be going over is the legalistic spirit of the Pharisees, the hindrance of the flow of grace and supplication. So over the last months to 6 weeks, we started in the back with this, and this series has just been edifying for the soul. There's so many things and there's so many spirits that we didn't even know about that we may even be tapping into or allowing them to have presence, okay, in our life. This hindrance of the flow of God is important because we all want that grace. And we all want that knowledge of the Lord to be in our lives. But sometimes we hit a wall and we always ask, what is going on in my life that's keeping me from the things of God? So it was just beautiful that 3 weeks ago that Bishop started a series on the struggles of life. Because they actually start to be intertwined and woven together. And then last week we just started freedom. Do you see how everything is starting to mesh together as we start to really open things up? And it was amazing because even though all of the shining faces that are here today, we had a smaller crowd in the Bible study that we had in the back. So now we're able to give this to more. And who knows that more is sometimes better when it comes to the knowledge of the things of God. The knowledge of the things of God. So and on occasion when we start saying things like, oh, we're talking about the spirit of this and the spirit of that, people kind of try to attach that to, what are you doing? You're doing a demonology lesson? No, let's just go ahead and get that straight right now. This is not a lesson in demonology. In fact, the devil does not need to possess you to get you off track. Let's just go all the way back to Adam and Eve. The devil never possessed either one of them. But the influence of disobedience was there from the beginning. And that influence is what we're talking about as we start looking at these spirits. In fact, 1 Peter 5 and 8 tells us that we should be vigilant and watching. Because what? The enemy goes like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So as we leave pockets and open and things that in our life that's open, he's going to come in and he's going to take one of these spirits in some form and try to introduce it to you so you'll grab hold of it and you'll see in just a minute how we always think that this is right. But I know this. And before we even get started into it, we got to know, according to 1 John 2:1, that we have an advocate with the Father. An advocate with the Father. That he was to sacrifice himself for the atonement of our sins. So don't think that grace doesn't much more abound before we even start talking about this, because I don't want this to be a lesson in, hey, I'm doomed and I'm gloom because I see something in my life that I probably shouldn't see. So let's take a look at this final spirit of the legalistic, pharisaical spirit that hinders the flow of grace and supply. This is by far one of the cruelest spirits that influences your life out there, by far. The spirit projects itself as righteous, holy, and spiritual, but it's legalistic, judgmental, and prideful. It has the appearance of perfection, but it shelters a dark and callous heart that will be attached to you from it. It is carefully cloaked in deceptive sincerity. And we'll go over that here in just a minute. But the sad thing about this is that this spirit operates mostly and primarily with men and women of God who find themselves crossing over into a legalistic view of how their grace is better than the grace that comes in the Word. Believers become self-appointed judges in the body of Christ who usurp the responsibility to God to someone else. That is, that it is my role and my interpretation of the Word of God. And as I start looking back over my own life, we start seeing these things and we just never identified them. How many people ever went to a church where, guess what? You wouldn't dare stand in a pulpit with a t-shirt and some pants on. Wouldn't dare. Excommunicado. How many people went to a church where the women's dresses had to swoop their ankles? Gotta have them. And denim in all lengths. And it. How many people ever went to a church where people come into and say, you mean you don't have communion this week? What do you mean you don't have communion? These are pharisaical influences that happen in people's lives that they take out of a traditional sense and they attach it to, this is the way to God. And I know it's almost that time, so I'm going to go ahead and put it out there right now. People even come in with the pharisaical mindset that if you got a Christmas tree, that's a pagan ritual. What about this one? Money is the root of all evil, so you shouldn't live prosperous. You should be at a certain level of lack to be holy, because you can't understand the sufferings of this world. This is real. This is this pharisaical mindset that we have taken on, and we've taken it from church to church. And then when you show up in a place like Glory to Him, where the word is rich and is full, you want to receive it, but the first thing you do is says, that's not the same thing I heard. Because the devil is going to reinforce his word, just like the Lord reinforces his. So do you think he's just going to let you go? I lived 16 years in a Baptist church. You think all the Baptists out of me in one visit to Glory to Him? But I'll go ask Pastor Roslyn why we don't put the tithes on the marquee on the side so we can have the attendance so we can know how many people showed up. Why is it not like that here? I'm not really understanding. Why does your bishop stand up and preach in a t-shirt and jeans? These are things that when we start talking about and you start analyzing ourselves that we see from this mindset. And the dangerous part of this one is that it embodies all six. So it's not stuck to just being a pharisaical mindset, but it can conform and change to any of the other six spirits that we've already discussed. And let's look at those. Because this pharisaical spirit looks for an entry point to cut you off from a relationship with God. So now you'll have more relationship with man than you do with God, because you'll have more relationship with the law than grace. And the first one that we talked about during the series is the spirit of Cain, the spirit of murder. But if we see in chapter 23 of Matthew, the Pharisees, before they even did anything and crucified Jesus Christ, they assassinated his character. How many times do we see that in our own settings? That before you even know a person, before you even sit down and have a conversation, you already have an opinion about him. Really don't like him. He always up there. You know, I don't like Chaz. He be playing them drums. He play too loud. Then Bishop always talks about him. It's that fast. And it's that easy. I really don't like the way that Bishop always brings up this and Bishop always brings up that. It's assassination of character before even knowing a person. That spirit of Cain, that pharisaical spirit, will reach down and it will take that entry point if you're open to it. The next is the spirit of Korah, the spirit of rebellion. The Pharisees knew the word of God, yet refused to acknowledge that Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies and the law. Often the desire to know is in direct opposition to trust. We would rather gain knowledge to control our lives than to allow God to take care of our lives. It's just the way this pharisaical spirit works in us. We're going to rebel anytime we can, and I will just go ahead and say it, because when I came here, that was the biggest thing that I heard, that Bishop Hannon was the sugar man. He didn't like any sugar. And I'm sorry, we were born in the South, we were raised in the South, and it was just like, wait a minute, sugar ain't never hurt nobody. But there was a foothold and there was a root there, because guess what? There was pushback. There was rebellion. Until I think it was the third time we went here that we actually realized that he was an actual doctor. We thought it was like, you know, some churches you go to, everybody's a doctor, right? But he's an actual doctor. Then it was a whole different, it was like, oh, I guess he does know. He might have a little bit of insight on that. But at first it was that rebellious spirit starts to well up inside of you. And that pharisaical spirit says, look, he's telling you something that doesn't agree with the doctrine that you already know. It doesn't take all that. Why are you talking on tithes and offerings? Brother Ron and I was sitting right over there on Sunday and we were talking. There's not many places you'll go where the bishop of the house says, if your heart's not in order, we don't need your tithes and offerings. Fix yourself and bring what the Lord wants you to bring. Wait a minute. That just hit me the wrong way. What are you trying to say? You don't need any money? Because the way I came up is that you didn't have a choice. It was performance. Because I knew that if I needed something from the senior pastors, they would check my tithes and see if I was faithful. Because that's the way that you checked if a person is faithful. So this was refreshing, but at first it wasn't. It was a pushback. So we lived in that rebellious spirit until we got revelation from the word of God, as Bishop took time and to explain and to go through the word to show us where we're free from that bondage. The next is the spirit of Balaam, of error. The Pharisees rejected the truth of God in Jesus Christ, because they were greedy for position, power, and recognition. Everything is about what they do for themselves and not about what they can do for others. This one is one that plagues churches all over. All over. This is one that people come into church and they sit in a seat and they try to figure out who is who. Who's the who's who of glory to him? That's a prayer. That's a youth pastor. That's senior pastors. Need to talk to them. That's bishop. Oh, that's the son. Maybe I talk to him to talk to them to talk to them. We can't act like this stuff doesn't happen. Because as we all together here at Glory to Him, we are all on guard. It is all of our responsibilities to ensure that these things don't sit and they don't take hold in our church. The next is the spirit of Absalom, of disloyalty. The Pharisees undermined the authority of Jesus because they wanted it for themselves. I don't know why Bishop didn't call me to be pastor this weekend. Ain't nobody even called me. My phone didn't ring. And you just gonna set up 3 new youth pastors without considering me? I got a child back there. Why wasn't I? There better be some pastorship for me. I hope he didn't give it all away. And this is the second time Pastor Hunter's been a pastor. How many pastorships he need? I could have got one of those. He could have handed me a pastorship. But we make light of the situation, but everybody doesn't celebrate the same way we celebrate when we see the Lord working in the church. Because somebody's always out there like, hey, I do things in the body too. In Matthew 15:10-14, Jesus called the crowd to say, come, listen, he said, and try to understand that it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of the mouth. Those things are deep down in your heart. When you open your heart, and it takes a split second, let me tell you how fast this root will work into your life, and you'll get so far in it, you won't know where it came from. Because Bishop stands here, or Pastor Joe, or Pastor Roslyn stands here and acknowledges somebody else, you'll sit in the seat and say, why didn't I get acknowledged? I was working the Fall Festival too. And if it's me, I was keeping the kids. I should have got double acknowledged. I ran a booth. But it settles in your heart. And now everything that happens subsequent from that, if you're not included, you're already ready to go back into rebellion. You're already ready to do slander to a person. Now I got to talk about Elder Rosin because guess what? I remember when she just passed by me and she didn't say a thing. But you're going to put her on the stage? And it's not comfortable just giving it to one person. That's why when Pastor Carolyn came up here and preached on the spirit of Jezebel. Let me tell you, the spirit of Jezebel, of control. Because this root will hit, it will sink in, and guess what? Now all of a sudden there's a foothold there, and now you're trying to control the narrative. How do I control the narrative? I control the narrative, but not keeping to myself. But guess what? The Hamiltons, we need to talk. We got to talk about what happened. You know, can we call you? Let's go to dinner. Let's go. Let's handle what just happened at church. Because that Jezebel spirit is going to control the narrative of the Pharisaical spirit, which makes you want to spread it to others. And it will spread like a wild root. Because the spirit helps you find people that are like you and have holes in their heart. And so now when you're talking, now you're just sitting there and you're talking about this person and that person, and you're knitted together. It seems like there's nobody closer to you than this person. And you give it to another person. And you give it to another person. And sometimes the Spirit is totally fine with the smaller setting of two and three people if those two and three people are in a position to go and spread it to others. I just need the children's pastors to listen to me for a little bit and tell them why they should do it my way and not the way Pastor Rosalind is telling them to do it. Because if two or three people come together and they have the same type of heart, they're going to want to tell others. And this Spirit is going to make sure that you're reaching to undo everything that God has put in place. Everything. This is not a spirit that is going to stand and let the presence of Jesus Christ walk through a church. It is going to cut it off. And the sad part about it is sometimes these spirits affect people that hold the signs and greet, that are around the children, that are in the parking lot. And if you don't know how to notice and see it, and we'll go through that here in a minute, then you won't think anything is wrong. Because when you start looking at it at its root, it's starting to follow the law. There is a law that says that shouldn't be that way. There is a law that says we shouldn't do it that way. Bishop said, let the Spirit move, but then he said, it's a power hour. Which one is it? We need to find out. Because the Spirit's going to move, we need to let the Spirit move. But if it's going to be our power, let it be our power. And next thing you know, that's spreading. Well, the Spirit can't move in the church because Bishop said, listen, because Bishop said it's an hour of power. So he just said the Spirit's not going to move in the church. And now we have a small mutiny on our hands. A small mutiny. Then Elder Dorothy talked about the spirit of the Leviathan, the spirit of Pharisees who were so professional at twisting everything that Jesus said. This is one of the spirits that activate every Sunday, Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday. It doesn't matter if you see them on a podcast, if you watch it by yourself. If it doesn't agree, it's going to twist the word. It twists. It takes the word and it twists it to a point where it's not even word anymore. But nobody said it. You just believed it. It is an opinionated spirit that gets your opinion and say is word by attaching it to a law that was already covered by grace. When you start recognizing these legalistic spirits, and that legalism, the Spirit steals the believer's joy. The person can never be happy. Can never, ever be happy. Because guess what? Everything in the service is always going wrong. The music is loud. Aaron needs to come closer on the stage and sing. And who's the singing leader? Is it Shannon? Is it Eric? Is it Rob? Who is it? I don't understand who's going and who's doing what. There's so many different ways to start twisting. Twisting. The Pharisees knew that despite of everything that Jesus was doing right. Can we just be honest? Jesus wasn't running around doing bad things to people. But it wasn't good enough because Jesus didn't come the way they thought he should. And the Pharisaical spirit that is opinionated does exactly that. It's not the way I think it should be. For those of us that lived in a military community, there was always a saying that the best post you ever been at was the one you just left. That last post. You know why? Because you're not there anymore. but you got all kind of problems with the one you're at. And with those of us that have moved around from church to church, I'm going to tell you this. When you start moving from church to church, especially if you get a church somewhere where you're at, whether it's Fort Bragg or Fort Moore, or wherever they're at now, whatever they're called now, Fort Liberty, and you get a church there and then you come here and now this is not the same way it was there. And when you go with that level of offense, you have just pulled back and you've opened your heart to a pharisaical spirit. The first time I came here, I tried to sit in that seat right back there. Not the one with the light on it, but the one next to it in the dark. As my wife sashayed all the way up here to the third pew. And I'm kind of like, psst, psst, psst. Was the hardest thing because the church we had came out of, that's what we knew what was right. And as is that what we would do as a right, the pharisaical spirit started to rest on me. It started to take a hold because it wasn't that the teachings here weren't of God. It wasn't what I was used to seeing. And so since it wasn't what I was used to seeing, I went back to get and to lay hold of the law that God had already set me free from. But when Bishop and the pastors were standing here and they were teaching on Sunday and Wednesday, and as I started listening to it, it was hard to receive because it wasn't what I knew. And I prided myself on knowing some word. Because you got to know the word to be in some churches. You got to know the word. But Pastor Joe, if you bring me that coat, as you'll see, I started to look back over all the things that I had dealt with, all the things that I had gone through. And if you hold this coat out real quick, this represented not only where I came from, but it represented what I thought I knew doctrinally. And that was serious. Because guess what? That was in here. That was in the heart. And so as I sat there, as free as God has ever made any creature in this world, what I did is I put this on. So I put on, that can't be right. Anybody remember when Bishop used to teach? You know, I'm still convinced to this day that he taught on tithes and offering every Sunday, and he would stand there and he would go back and he would get, because he was teaching, nobody but me. Nobody but me. And I would call, I'd talk to Mitch and Tasha Brady, and I'd be like, can you believe? Oh my, we talked about tithes and offering for 15 minutes. I can't believe it. The storehouse is for meat. Meat, that's the storehouse. That's what that's for. That's not what I was taught. So guess what? I put on my pharisaical mind. And so as I have my pharisaical mind, now we can see what and how to recognize this pharisaical spirit. This coat symbolizes what I sat on that third row following my wife to the front when I wanted to be in the back. Of what it actually was doing in my life. And the first point is the spirit craves praises from men. Gotta have it. Got to have it. Somebody has to approve of what I'm doing. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. My heart was failing every test because my heart, and the more I sat there, start to become callous of things that I should be free from. But I can't let my pharisaical coat go. That just wouldn't be right. Because this is the doctrine that I was taught. The second was the Spirit covers positions and titles and recognition. It has to have them. Matthew 23:5-7. I'll just read the first part of it. Jesus said, as talking about the Pharisees, everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes and scripture verses inside. And they wear robes with extra long tassels. And they love to sit at the head of the table of banquets and the seats of honor in the synagogues. It is so important that not only man is pleased by what I do more than God, but it's also important that I obtain a title. I don't even want to ask the leadership here how many times a person has asked for a title. And the way this pharisaical spirit works is that if I say, Bishop, do you see it? Bishop, do you see me? Bishop, do you see? Bishop, look, right there, I did this. And right, you know, and when I was over there, I did that. And I did this. And I did that. And if he doesn't listen to me, guess what? I'll go over to the senior pastor and I'll be like, hey, I just want to, do you have a position? Can I do this? But you see what I did here? And you see what I did there? And you see what I did there? I need to be pleasing to men. And if I come home like Ahab, I will get my Jezebel and I'll have her go and put me in a position. Because this pharisaical spirit doesn't care if you strike out and he leaves you alone. If you have a spouse and you come home, you're like, well, you know what? They wouldn't listen to me. They didn't like my ideas. And I don't know why they didn't like my ideas. They were good ideas. And now she's like, well, you know what? Let me go talk to Pastor Roslyn. Let me take care of this for you. This spirit will also use the name of leadership or spiritual authority to gain position, titles, and recognition. You know, me and Pastor Hunter, kids, we our kids play, you know, together. You know, Pastor Hunter, the youth pastor, you know, him and Dr. Kirsten. Yeah, I know them. You know, they know Bishop. And so, you know, we talk at the games, and as we're talking at the games, you know, we talk about things at the church, you know, and yes, we really do, and we go over a lot of things. And I start name dropping. You know, at the last church, there was a bishop that you might heard of, you know, T.D. And he spoke to me and we talked. And all that man said was, excuse me. We see this in Acts 16:17 with the women of divination. The woman of divination, when Paul and Silas was going, the Bible says, now it happened as they went to prayer. Luke is talking here. That a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune teller. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, who proclaim the way to salvation. And this is exactly how we try to attach ourselves with a pharisaical mindset with people of authority. I am going to say, me and Bishop, we both drive trucks. We have a connection. Whatever I can do to associate us together to get the position that I need to be, that is what I'm going to do. Because at the end of the day, I have to have the position. the title. The Spirit refuses correction but lives to correct others. Lives to correct others. Won't accept any correction at all. Matthew 5 and 7 says, hypocrite, first get rid of the log out of your own eye, then you will see enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. The pharisaical spiritual doctrine of men is centered on control, measurement, and restrictive. Biblical doctrine leads to Christ. With the pharisaical mindset, that biblical doctrine leads to what you say according to your opinion and how you have dissected the word. How you have dissected the word. And this pharisaical spirit is always looking to plague, especially when God is doing a move in the church. So as we know and we see all these spirits and how they tie together, it's good to talk about a spirit, but how do we become free from the influence of them? So Bishop summed this up the best with Colossians 3 and 2 on Sunday. And it says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Because if your affections aren't focus on the things of God, guess what? You might have an infection that starts to be outwardly shown to everybody. And you'll never see it. Everybody know that you stinketh. But you won't know. You'll still grab your coat and you'll still wear it in front of everybody. And you'll still say, can't you see me and how I'm living in front of everybody because I'm right. Because I'm right. It's not what the word says as much as it is what I say. There are four ways to allow the grace and supplication of God to flow back into your life. Number one, real quick, is to get back in church. Get back in church. This is where we need to be. Assembled together and with the brethren. This is where we need to be. Two, get connected with the vision of the church. Our vision here, each one, reach one, teach one through miracle signs and wonders and repeat. Know God, get free, find your purpose and make a difference. And when we all go together. Get a hold of the vision that is in the church. But you can't always do that if you refuse to come to church because now you only want to do church online. COVID been over for a little while, y'all. I know if y'all realize that. Guard your gates. Those things that are coming to you that you hear or that you see, and don't be speaking them out on somebody else. Guard what you say out of your mouth. And pray for those appointed over you. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. It says, I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God for help with them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. That's so important. Get back in church. Catch the vision. Guard your gates. And pray for those that are appointed over you. Pastor Joe told us in the men's meeting, ministry is not convenient. And as we talk about, and as we wrap this up on our pharisaical mindsets and the spirit that try to influence us, I just urge you to check your hearts. See if there is anything that is not like God in you. And then, you know what? Test it by the scripture and by the word. And before you just start tearing down people, pray for them. Seek God's wisdom and counsel for them. that it may be well with you. Thank you. That is my time.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, that's about as good as it gets. To take all seven spirits and string them together and tie them to the pharmaceutical spirit, that's about as well done as I've ever seen done. I don't know that I could have done even close to that. That was amazing. If you can't get that, you can't get it. Yeah. Winston, fantastic job. That was over the top good. Over the top good. Excellent, excellent teaching. And I'm going to, matter of fact, remind me Sunday, we need to make sure that everybody goes back and watches that. Everybody in the church needs to hear that. And y'all might want to go back and watch that again. The reason why I say that is the most relative teaching to where we live on a daily basis that I've probably heard in a long time. So if you want just a day-to-day, blow-by-blow, let's walk through seven things that we need to work on, that's it. Okay, that's it. There's no way that could have been done any better. Okay, so yeah, so use that as a resource in this house. Excellent job. Wow, that was good. I mean, I really enjoyed that. So let's stand up. I promise you a power hour, and that's what we're gonna do. Y'all got that spirit tested, didn't you? Y'all, are we doing the spirit, or what are we going to do here now? I'll tell you, like I told my staff when I made this announcement to them, I told them, I said, you know, when I'm on TBN, I got 30 minutes or I got an hour, depending on which broadcast we're doing. And I can tell you right now, when they start counting that down, 4, 3, when that camera goes off, I don't care if I preach heaven down, Jesus walks down the middle of the aisle, anoints me with oil, ain't nobody seeing it. So I got a half hour to let that spirit move and get done what he's got to do. And how many people know that God can do more in 30 seconds than you can do the rest of your life? So he don't need 4 hours and 5 hours and 6 hours. If you set a time, God's an on-time God. If God can do everything he wants to do in time frames, so can we. Amen? All right. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for everybody that's here tonight, Lord. I ask you to grant them traveling mercies on the way home. Let this word literally seep down into their heart, Lord Jesus, and produce fantastic fruit in the days to come, Lord. You helped him just speak it out tonight in all the areas that we struggle and we wrestle with, Lord. So let that word really just be a ministry to us tonight, Lord. Help us to use these as the tools all through the week, all through the month, all through the year to make us better. So I thank you in advance for all the wonderful things, the fruit that's going to come from this entire series. Thank you for every pastor, every minister that brought forth a wonderful word to complete the series. We thank you to have such wonderful wisdom and teaching in this church. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, go enjoy your week. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday morning. Everybody, bring somebody to church. Remember, you're growing where you're going.